D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
They've taken the shackles off of the government and put them onto the people.
We will not surrender to the tyranny of one branch of government.
This is Truths That Transform.
Thank you for joining us on Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program, part of the media ministry of Dr. D. James Kennedy. My name is Frank Wright, and I'm president here at D. James Kennedy Ministries. Before we begin today, let me remind you to visit us at our ministry website, djameskennedy.org, where you can plug into our rich library of digital, audio, video, and print resources. Well, let's get started. There is today a growing clash in America between the new regime of so-called sexual rights, one imposed by the federal courts, and the long-protected freedom of religion under the First Amendment. A number of Christians in America are already feeling the heat, and that's just the beginning. Today, we'll be taking an in-depth look at this controversy, and as we begin, I'm joined by our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb, an expert on America's constitutional history. Jerry, good to be with you today.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
It seems to me that recently we've seen a dramatic increase in cases where Christians have been forced by their government to take actions in violation of deeply held convictions. Whatever happened to the freedom of conscience in America?
Well, it seems like in our days what's happened is people are exalting sexual freedom rights above all other rights, even to the point where you have, for example, you hear often about the constitutional right to abortion. Well, you can read the Constitution till you're blue in the face, and there's no constitutional right to abortion. But the Constitution explicitly gives free exercise of religion rights. And yet those rights are being denied today by many of our elites, and it's a terrible thing.
You would agree, though, wouldn't you, that America is a far more diverse nation than it has been any time in the history of our republic? Isn't there some obligation to the members of a civil society to give ground on their deeply held convictions so that, you know, we can all get along together?
Well, I think our founders were very wise in creating a system where the rights of the majority were protected, but so also were the rights of the minority. What's happened, though, today is that those who hold Christian views, and by the way, the founders, for the most part, held Christian views. Those who hold Christian views, though, are often discriminated against by those who think that sexual rights trump all other rights. Now, Thomas Jefferson said, "Almighty God hath created the mind free." And yet today, it's as if you really get punished if you hold to traditional views of morality.
Jerry, let me ask that same question, but maybe a little more forcefully, more like what we're actually facing. Mm-hmm. In a nation where majority rules and where there is no one religion enshrined under law, don't we have the right to force people to obey what the majority decides to do?
Well, first of all, when the Constitution was adopted, this is in a nation where literally the population was about 99.8% Christian, professing Christian. And so the idea that traditional Christian morality and those who hold traditional Christian beliefs should be punished in America, I think, is absolutely absurd. It is out of step with our traditions. But it's even out of step with what the American people themselves think. You know that some recent polls have shown when it comes to should people have the religious rights, let's say the ability to decline, let's say doing something that would violate their conscience. A majority of American people, even at this time, say, no, they shouldn't have to violate their conscience.
Yeah.
So I think that what's happening is the liberals are basically imposing their will on the rest of us and dividing the country.
So what I'm hearing you say, see if you agree with it this way, yes, the majority rules, but the majority does not trump the Bill of Rights.
That's exactly right. Congress should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And how you go from the idea of twisting those words in such a way that God is somehow not allowed in the public arena is absurd.
Jerry, some people look today at the U.S. Supreme Court and they say it's a rogue court, that it has slipped the bonds of judicial restraint and ignores precedent. Others look at the court's actions and say, you know, what are we sweating what someone wrote 230 years ago in the Constitution? How is that Constitution relevant today? What did they know then about, I don't know, women's rights and the need to protect minorities and so forth?
When they wrote the Constitution, they recognized that times would change, circumstances would change. And so they actually allowed for remedies by which the Constitution could be changed. Now, those are very arduous, but what's happening with the courts today is many times they're just bypassing the democratic process and imposing on we the people, by judicial fiat, imposing their decisions.
In the cold light of history, Jerry, government intrusion into the personal affairs of its people is almost always the foreshadowing of tyranny.
Yeah.
But we can't wring our hands in despair over this. What, as a people, should we be doing in response to an out-of-control government?
Well, Jesus said this. He said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And I think what's happening today is that too often Caesar is trying to grab those things that belong to God and take them away from we the people. And I think we the people, though, are ultimately the rulers in America, because we are enabled by the Constitution with the power, we the people. I saw a bumper sticker the other day on a Christian car with some other Christian bumper stickers, and it said, "Why vote? Nobody can fix this country." And I thought, no, that's a terrible attitude. If we all vote and vote in a righteous way, we can sway virtually every election. And, you know, George Washington said in a very famous letter, he said, "Unless we as Americans imitate Jesus Christ, we can never hope to be a happy nation." And I look and I think, well, are we imitating Jesus Christ? No. Well, are we a happy nation? No. And so I think we do need revival at every level of society.
Jerry, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So as you've just heard, the founders gave us a constitution that was designed to protect your freedom to exercise your religion. But in an ironic twist, it's actually been used more recently to do just the opposite. Our courts have taken our First Amendment restrictions on government and turned them into restrictions on Christians under the guise of so-called separation of church and state. But as my friend and mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, powerfully reminds us, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
A separation of church and state? Do you remember what John Quincy Adams says? He said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it united in one indissoluble bond the principles of Christianity and the principles of civil government." But in one stroke, the Everson decision erected a wall severing that indissoluble bond. Now, is that not just shorthand for the First Amendment? No, no, no. It is not. It is a complete distortion of it. And if you are not familiar with how it distorts it, let me remind you. The First Amendment, like the entire first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, were all one-way streets. They were written for one single purpose: to protect you, the people of the United States, from the newly created Leviathan, the federal government. And men like George Washington and Patrick Henry would not even sign the Constitution until they were assured there would be a Bill of Rights protecting the rights of the people. George Washington later said in a letter that if he had thought that in any way this government would become hostile to any religious organization, that he would have never affixed his name to it. A one-way street, by the way, I said that to a reporter one time. Oh, he said, "Oh, that's nonsense." I said, "Is it really? Is it really, my friend?" Well, let's take the next part of the First Amendment, which says, "Nor shall the government in any way abridge the freedom of the press." Now, let's say that we change that to, there shall be a wall of separation between the press and the state. Big wall. Now that means that the state can't say anything or do anything against the press. Yeah, you're way ahead of me, aren't you? And the press can't say or do anything against the government. I said, my dear friend, if that were the case, you and most all of your cohorts would be in jail. He said, well, I never thought of it that way. You see, it's a one-way street in their mind, but it's all going the wrong way. And it has ushered forth in a whole series of decisions of the type that I told you today that have caused all sorts of chaos in our nation. We have seen that the founding fathers of this country meant that this was not a secular nation. It was not to be hostile to religion, but it was to accommodate it and encourage it, as Justice Joseph Story says in his first commentary on the Constitution of the United States, to encourage Christianity. The intention of the Constitution and the First Amendment was to encourage Christianity to the extent that it was compatible with freedom of conscience and worship. Samuel Adams, the golden tongue of the Revolution, said that we have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men owe obedience, and let his kingdom come. There is no doubt that this was established as a Christian nation. Chief Justice John Jay was appointed by George Washington. He was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And Chief Justice Jay said that Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is a duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. The first Chief Justice of this nation, John Jay, said, this is a Christian nation. George Washington referred to the conduct of his soldiers and said that it should be such as would be proper for Christian soldiers. In the Trinity decision of 1892, the Supreme Court examined literally hundreds or thousands of documents that had everything to do with the foundation of this country. Every state constitution, all of the compacts that led up to 1776, all of the various decisions of the courts, and finally they said that these and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. Thus said the Supreme Court of the United States in the Trinity decision of 1892. But the ungodly are doing their very best to destroy all of that, and the club that they are using is this supposititious wall of separation between church and state, which, like Hitler's big lie, has been used to brainwash the American people and to club Christianity into oblivion. Well, is there any hope? Dear friends, I believe we will see something wonderful happen in this country. We will put the train back on the tracks that were laid out for it by the founding fathers of this country. We will restore religious liberty to this nation. I believe that we will see also the throwing out of the so-called wall of separation doctrine, which has contributed so enormously to the increasing secularization, ungodliness, immorality, and crime in our country. Dear friends, pray that that may happen. I believe that it will happen. The Berlin Wall has fallen. The Iron Curtain has fallen. And this supposititious wall of separation is going to fall. Let us pray. O God, break the legal shackles that have bound this nation and led it into secular slavery, and set thy people free. For Christ's sake, amen.
With our First Amendment freedoms now twisted almost beyond recognition, have we lost the true meaning of the free exercise of religion in a nation founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, more and more it seems that the government at all levels is attempting to force Christians to violate Scripture and their consciences as well. Just a few years ago, we were told, if you disagree with homosexual marriage, don't worry, it won't have any effect on you. Yet, as you're about to see, just a few short months after the Supreme Court ruling, a Christian woman has been jailed as a result of it. I traveled to Kentucky on the day she was released.
Jesus is Lord!
One thing we've learned, even if you stand alone, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
And we do not want to see this country become the smoldering remains of what once was a great republic where the people ruled and it's exchanged for a place where five unelected lawyers think that they can rule. We're here to say, no, they cannot.
In the middle of the rally in support of Kim Davis, she was released from jail.
Obviously, we've had a major bonus today to be able to see Kim Davis released.
Many understand that Kim Davis stands on the front line of an assault on our religious liberty. In June, the United States Supreme Court held that so-called same-sex marriages are to be recognized in all 50 states. In Kentucky, the voters of the state previously enacted laws and even a constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Kim Davis refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses with her signature on them based upon her Christian convictions. A judge, however, ordered her jailed without bond.
Tell us what you think about this case involving Kim Davis, the clerk of the court. I'd like to hear your perspective.
As a clerk of the court and being United States as a secular nation, I think she should do her job.
Why should Kim not resign? Because God strategically, I believe, placed her in that position for her to make a stand.
Her religious freedom should be accommodated in her personal life, but not as an official of the state of Kentucky.
Whether she wanted to or not, she made people's rights come into jeopardy.
But there's a higher law.
One of the darkest things I've heard in the last 10 days has been the idea that if Christians can't fulfill their public office, they should resign. And not only that, maybe they're not qualified as Christians to hold public office. Almost sounds like a reversed religious test. The Constitution says there can be no religious test for higher office, but it sounds like there might be one. And if you're a person of faith, you lose, you fail, you don't pass the test.
What a curious string of words that we hear on that. And no, the freedom we talk about is the freedom to express your faith and your Christian beliefs, and do so in, if it's a business, if it's in your personal life, if it's the way you raise your family, if it's the way you conduct yourself out in public. That's what expression of your faith is about. I want people to remember, we had church long before we had state. So who's calling the shots here?
What the issue is the courts have made an illegal ruling. And so what we've seen in this particular case is an absolute overreach by one branch of the federal government to impose essentially a secular atheistic view foreign to our history, foreign to our traditions, and that's what's creating the chaos.
We should do all that we can to live peaceably in this country. But when God's law and man's law conflict, we have a responsibility to stand on God's law.
She has ignited something across this country where people are tired of the tyranny of judicial action that takes people's freedoms away, takes their basic fundamental constitutional rights and puts them in jeopardy, and a tyranny of a legislative court that believes that it can make up law and somehow find a way to enforce it.
The good news is that our system is built so that these lesser magistrates, and this is something very important to our history, and if we go back all the way to the 1500s, the writings of John Knox, etc., that there are limits on the magistrates. And when those magistrates overreach, the lesser magistrates, like a Kim Davis, are to stand and to do what they're supposed to do to make sure that the law is being followed. And that's what is happening here, and that's why it worked, and that's what we need more of.
I just want to give God the glory. His people have rallied, and you are...
This unassuming and courageous woman is taking a stand against judicial tyranny. The question is whether other Christians will stand with her.
It is far more than one clerk saying she will not issue marriage licenses. It's that every one of us will have to decide whether or not we want to keep this great republic or whether we're willing to sacrifice it and surrender it to tyranny. And I think we gather here today to say we will not surrender to the tyranny of one branch of government.
Kim Davis was locked up for 6 days because she would not disobey her conscience and bow to a lawless Supreme Court. She wasn't attempting to provoke a constitutional crisis. She was asserting her First Amendment freedom to be not directly involved in issuing licenses she knew to be contrary to God's law. But in an astonishing act of cultural vigilantism, the federal judge decided he would try to break Kim's will by throwing her into jail without bond. My friends, if this doesn't wake us up to what's happening, I'm not sure what will. The goal of those in favor of radically redefining marriage isn't equality, it's compulsory compliance. You will go along or else. But friends, we have a brand new resource designed to help you understand and even counter this threat. My very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, is here with more. Jennifer?
Thank you, Frank. For years now, religious freedom and the sexual agenda of the left have been on a collision course in America, and we have reached a crisis point. Organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby are hauled into court. Photographers and bakers who decline to provide services for same-sex so-called weddings are threatened with heavy fines and even driven out of business. A county clerk in Kentucky is thrown into jail without bond for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses because of her Christian convictions. America was founded on religious freedom, but that foundation is being chiseled down to nothing. The time is now or never for Christians to stand up and defend their religious freedoms and constitutional government. We have a new resource that will help you to do just that. It's the hot new book, Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom by Ryan T. Anderson of the Heritage Foundation. Nobody has done a better job publicly defending traditional marriage in media venues across the country. When someone says your opposition to same-sex marriage is just like opposition to interracial marriage was 50 years ago, do you know how to answer them? And if someone asks, why should your religious view of marriage be the law in a secular country? What would you respond? This outstanding new book will help you answer these questions and many more, and we'll send it to you right away for a generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. If you're able to give $45 or more, we'll also include the new 2-DVD or 2-CD set, The War Against Christianity, featuring two powerful messages from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, on this topic. The book, Truth Overruled by Ryan T. Anderson, and the two DVD or two CD set, The War Against Christianity, will equip you for the battle at hand, and they're both yours for a generous donation of $45 or more. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org.
The United States Capitol, perhaps the most widely recognized building on the face of the earth, sits at the very geographic center of Washington, D.C. But why, you might ask, did our founders and national architects, no doubt acutely aware of the symbolism of every decision, choose the exact center of that powerful city? It's because they were making an unmistakable declaration about the centrality of law in our system of government. America is first and foremost a nation of laws. And law is the foundation on which every truly free society rests. Now, you don't have to wake up Einstein to know that true freedom appears to be on life support in our day, largely due to the constitutional mayhem of a radical Supreme Court majority that has slipped the bonds of any semblance or really even any pretense of judicial restraint. A spate of recent decisions woefully declaims that justice is no longer rooted in just laws democratically enacted, but floats rather in the murky miasma of personal preference. Because of the raw and extra-constitutional power exercised by this radical group, a latter-day sword of Damocles now hangs over our religious freedoms, and our ability to proclaim an unfettered gospel message is at risk. If at this signal hour we stand by and watch this happen without a murmur of protest, then future generations may rightly rise up and call us faithless, and even cowardly. The battle for religious liberty has entered a new and critical phase. The highest court in our land is attempting to override our Republican form of government, replacing it with the capricious notions of five unelected lawyers. We are ready to stand and fight. Will you help us? Thank you for joining us on the program. We will see you next week on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Well, why this governmental attack on religion, most particularly upon the Christian religion?
It's about freedom, not money. I certainly don't relish the idea of losing my business, my home, and everything else your lawsuit threatens to take from me.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.